As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from Alla Renee Bozarth, a poet, prose writer, therapist, and Episcopal priest. The small plot of ground on which you were born cannot be expected to stay forever the same. Earth changes and home becomes different places. You took flesh from clay, but the clay did not come from just one place. To feel alive, important, and safe, know your own waters and hills, but no more. You have stars in your bones and ocean in blood. You have opposing terrain in each eye. You belong to the land and sky of your first cry. You belong to infinity.
Thank you, Rachel. I have bowls of stones everywhere. Every time I go to the beach, I walk along that strip where the water meets the land. At the ocean where I grew up, that strip is mostly sand, and the high tide mark is marked by a wide strip of seashells that have been dropped there by the reaching water. The strip of sand between those seashells and the water when the tide is lower is easier to walk on than the dry, loose sand above the shells. When it's warm, I can walk barefoot and let myself wander in and out of the moving water. And when it's cold, that strip can be really hard as the water held in the sand freezes just a little, and then it's really easy to walk there. More recently, along the shore of Lake Michigan, I can walk along the same kind of strip, but it's much narrower since it's not tidal and there's no line of shells marking its high end, and it's usually not mostly sand. There are lots of stones on the beaches that I walk along the lake along with the sand of all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so these days I walk on stones, and when I walk slowly enough, I can pay attention to those different shapes and sizes and colors. And almost always, I start picking them up. I tell myself I won't take any of them with me because I already have bowls of stones everywhere. But there's always one or two that are so different, so appealing, that I can't resist. And sometimes that has to do with my frame of mind. Some of them I still remember the particulars of when I took them, and I keep them in a special place on my altar or in my keepsake box. The black and white stones I took from Jones Beach on Long Island the day we scattered my dad's ashes. The one with all the holes worn into it that I took from the beach at the Siena Retreat Center in Racine when I was walking to try to come to terms with the loss of my marriage, all those little holes. The little pieces of agate I collected from a pebble beach in Duluth when I was sitting in contemplation of my call to ministry. Stones that marked big events in my life. But most of them, even though they each held a special meaning or a reason for picking them up at the time, sit in bowls together. A collection of events that mark different trips to the place where the water meets the land, and different versions of me in that place. So now I have these bowls of stones. I didn't start out saying I'm going to have a collection of stones to mark various points in my life's journey, but that's what it turns out I have. Pieces of earth, the element of solidity and grounding in all of the places I spend any amount of time. And what's more, they're all stones that have been in water, the element of emotion. The ones that haven't come from a beach came out of rivers or streams. So they not only mark points in the journey, they are just like me, things that have been tumbled and shaped by that which holds them and moves them. They are not the same as they once were. Change is constant. Sometimes change is like the dying off of the chlorophyll so that the brilliant colors underneath that have been there all along can show. Sometimes it's like the snake sloughing off its skin as it outgrows it and moves on. Sometimes it's like the seed erupting into a root and shoot and becoming a plant. And sometimes it's like the tree being blown over in the wind. Change can be initiated by us or agreed to, or it can be imposed with no perceptible choice. It can be welcome or not, and no matter how it comes, it is more often than not uncomfortable at best. I want to think I have control over my life, or at the very least, I want to know that there's some stability, that there are things that are predictable, that they will be as they have been. If change is constant, then my wanting these things will constantly produce discomfort. That's because I keep thinking of the world and the things around me as things that are, things that exist, things that are solid and real. Alfred North Whitehead, an early to mid-20th century philosopher, argued that reality consists of processes rather than of material objects, and that processes are best defined by their relations with other processes. In other words, we are not being, we are becoming. And we are becoming because of our relationships with each other and everything that is around us, just as we are affecting how others and how our world becomes. What would it be like, instead of framing the world as what is, I could frame it to as what is becoming? This is called process philosophy. C. Robert Mesley is a modern process theologian. He's someone who studies and articulates the role of God in this process of becoming. He writes, quote, "The world is a web of interrelated processes of which we are integral parts, so that all of our choices and actions have consequences for the world around us. And that even God is best understood in terms of relatedness and process, rather than as an unchanging, static being, unaffected by the world." This reminds us that both God and we are part of the world, that both our bodies and our spirits are in relationship with each other and with that which is greater than the sum of our parts. That the flow of our experiences is part of the continual process of becoming. Process theology says that the web is also continually becoming, and in that process, God and we are continually co-creating each other. Dr. Mesley says that, quote, "It is impossible for experience to exist independently. Experience arises out of that which is lived. Every drop of experience is a novel weaving of the world of earlier experiences out of which that drop arises, and that you are the flow of your experience. More precisely, your mind or soul is the cumulative flow of your experience. You have a sense of self because of this continuity. You arise out of your past, out of your relationships with the whole world, and enjoy a momentary present right now that includes anticipation of future experiences. John Cobb, another current process theologian, puts it a little more accessibly. In every moment, he says, of our experience, we make a decision on how to put together all of the past influences in light of the potentials we want to realize. So another way to say this is that change is constant. Another way to say that change is constant in terms of this process philosophy is that we are constantly becoming. This shifts the focus, when I think about it, of me as an object, right? Change is happening to me. It shifts the focus to me as a subject. I am becoming as I move in these experiences. It feels so different. It feels less uncomfortable than thinking I am what I am, but something's going to come along and change me. Can we be at home in the journey that is that continual becoming? It means shifting how we think about the world, right? From a static thing in which there are events that produce change to a dynamic thing that is always experiencing and producing change just as we are. Belonging in a world that is constantly becoming could be to learn to know ourselves as active participants in the becoming that is happening within and between and around us. The stones in my bowl have become smooth and rounded in their interaction with the water they have been tumbling around in. We become what we are in any given moment through the flow of experience that has brought us to that moment in the anticipation of what will become next. Our liberal faith tradition offers us tools to make that shift. Unitarian Universalism has always been a faith of becoming, of being dynamic rather than static. We know that to experience the world is to make change in how we see it and in how we ascribe meaning to it. We know that with every new bit of input, every poem and every song and every piece of art, every scientific understanding, every book, every interaction, how we see the world changes just a little bit. And we change just a little bit, individually and collectively as we gather. This is one of the reasons, this is the theological reason, we work so hard at inclusivity. So our faith tradition, too, is a process of becoming. And it reminds us, as we sit here, that we are not alone and that we are held in every moment of that process, here to witness, here to gather. Ella Renee Bosworth wrote, "You took flesh from clay, but the clay did not come from just one place. To feel alive and important and safe, know your own waters and hills, but no more. You have stars in your bones and oceans in blood. You have opposing terrain in each eye. You belong to the land and sky of your first cry. You belong to infinity." May it be so. May we be so.